To begin, I'd like to use a definition of information policy coming from Sandra Brayman, one of the leading thinkers in the area. She looks at information policy in relation to the information life cycle. In particular, she defines information policy as those government policies that influence production, distribution, aggregation, processing, access, consumption, retention, and destruction of information. So this is a broad definition capturing all different aspects of information and its use. It's also important to remember that information policy should be holistically considered. As we'll see throughout the course, often information policies interact with each other. For example, copyright may bring up issues of privacy. Privacy and surveillance are intimately related, as is privacy and access to information. Throughout the course, we'll see a number of areas where we see intersections. Although I've divided the course into a number of weekly topics, these topics are all interrelated. Another key element is that information policy can be manifest or latent. Sometimes we'll see explicit policy statements or documents talking about information policy. To give an example, telecommunications and broadcasting policy in Canada have specific policy objectives. If you look at the Telecommunications Act, Section 7 lays out clear policy objectives. In other cases, policy objectives are less clear. They can only be found by a combination of looking at legislation, jurisprudence, and other relevant documents. One area where we see this is intellectual property. Unlike, say, telecommunications or broadcasting, where there's a clear set of policy objectives, if you look at the Copyright Act, there is no clear copyright policy for Canada. However, the policy can be extracted from looking at the legislation, as well as decisions from the Copyright Board, and most importantly, cases from the Supreme Court. Another important element is, although the definition of information policy focuses on government-driven information policies, private actors also have a large role to play in information policy. This brings up the idea of public and private ordering. So public ordering is laws, regulations, etc. made by government. These are usually manifest and often very easy to find. But information policy can also be privately ordered. This is where non-government or non-public actors shape what one can or can't do with information. A good example of this are things like end-user licensing agreements or terms of service or use. These, what are effectively contracts or legal agreements, stipulate what one can and can't do with information. They're not per se a copyright legislation or a copyright act, but they have important regulation over how one can use information.